beautiful. For Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'm not sure how your physical feet looks like, but according to the Bible, they're pretty beautiful in His sight. So thank you. We look forward to how much fruit that God will bear through this trip. Not only our brothers and sisters in Aguas de Calientes, but also in your own hearts. With that, we turn to our scripture reading, which comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. I don't know if you notice, I have not dismissed our Noah's Ark children this morning, because this is our annual back-to-school Sunday. Our children and all of us will worship together, and to remind about their calling in their life, in their schools, and well, let us ask, oh yeah, preschool, you're dismissed. Because, yeah, that might be too long and crazy for them. So preschool, you're released. But as they do that, we turn to our scripture reading, which comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 this morning. And this is reading of God's word. When Joshua was in Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth in worship and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. Noah's Ark children, can I get your hands? Who's here? Are Noah's Ark children? It's okay. Yeah, we have a lot of people who are sick today, and so they're attending through live streaming, and a lot of people out of town. So Noah's Ark children, how was VBS this week? You can speak up. Huh? Good? Nice. I'm going to do our memory verse challenge. Remember, we did that with the verse, but we're not going to show the verse. So I want you to shout it out as we do the memory verse together so that your parents will also hear. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Are you guys really ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every... Did I get that wrong? Let's try it again. Ready? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Good job. You know, VVS signals the summer is coming to an end, students. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Which means back to school for many of you. Oh, yeah. It means going shopping for school supplies and new clothes. And then there's, for some of you, there's a sense of excitement and anticipation of what is to come. But I talked to many of you, for most of you, you're worried. You're kind of scared of what is ahead. Especially to our elementary students who's going up to junior high, from our junior high to high school. And we have a big class this year who graduated high school and they're going to go off to campus somewhere. I remember when I first went from junior high to high school, I was so afraid. I was so afraid. I actually went like a couple days before because they opened the school to us, and I would, because we had to go from class to class. You couldn't just sit in one classroom. So I was stressed out, and I would go and map out like which class next, right? So I know what you feel like. Some of the parents who are here are actually very worried about their child or their children. Because I know many of you are thinking, how is my child going to do? Is he or she going to actually make friends? That's a big thing. Or would my child eat lunch by herself? We have an elder who actually heard of our daughter who did that first day of school, and he cried for the whole week finding out that her daughter just ate lunch by herself. So it's not on our mind, but I know that many of the moms are actually very happy the summer's over and the students are going back to school. So whether you're transitioning to new school or going back to your old school, I'm sure you have a lot on your mind, right? We come to a passage this morning where we find someone who also had a lot on his mind. He was actually worried about the future, maybe even scared about what lies ahead for him. His name is Joshua. He just became a new leader of this nation called Israel. And Moses, the revered leader, has died. And now Joshua actually has to lead millions of people into the promised land that God told them to go in and conquer. But the problem was, the land of Canaan was still filled with giants, which the previous generation miserably failed. And for Joshua, as a new leader, this is his first battle, actually. And we're told the city of Jericho was the most fortified city in the land of Canaan. And therefore, you can understand Joshua had a lot on his mind. Maybe some of you adults today, whatever various circumstances in your life, you have a lot on your mind. Maybe it's your Jericho. Maybe it's the land of giant, whatever you're facing, and it seems impossible to overcome. Maybe it's becoming hopeless. But this message is for all of us who have a lot on our mind, and we face some challenges, especially to our students who are going back to school. Well, you need to know who's with you and God's calling upon your life as you return to your respective campuses. I divided the message into two parts. It's called Back to School, very simple, the commander of the Lord's army. And I divided the message into two parts. I had three, but I'm going to go with two this morning. Its first one is I labeled as plan versus the person. And the second part is the person versus the plan. I know it's a little confusing, but it will make sense, okay? So let's begin. The plan versus the person. Pick it up in verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him. Are you for us or for our adversaries? So you can understand Joshua as a new leader. Yeah, he had 40 years of grooming under the leadership of Moses. And he understood the task over to go in and conquer the promised land. But his eyes still sees giants. So with Lot on his mind, Joshua is actually spying on the city of Jericho. He's scoping it out because he needs to come up with some airtight strategy. He needs to come up with some kind of military strategy that will wow his people, because he's leading his people, who is 1.5 second generation of the Exodus generation, who haven't fought battles. They were nomads wandering the desert for 40 years, and yet they're faced with this most fortified city was his first task. So as a new leader, he had to make a good impression. First battle will say a lot about your leader. So I'm sure he's under a lot of stress, and we're told that he's scoping out the city, and we're told that he sees something. So Joshua, you can see, he's kind of preoccupied with, what should we do? Should we do a surprise attack? Or is there some weakness to one part of the city? So he's thinking about military strategy, and we're told in verse 13, he, Joshua, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And what Joshua is communicating is that Joshua sees a man. He's no ordinary man. A soldier has drawn his sword. And what that means is that it communicates a battle stand. It's a combat position. He's drawn his sword. He's ready to go. So Joshua responds. And Joshua went to him. And what that means in the original language is that Joshua saw this man, took out his own sword, and went before him with a battle stand. Combat position, ready to fight. You know, I tell you, when I read the Old Testament narratives, that I kind of try to envision what this scene's like. And I think this would make a great movie. It's one of those two leaders come together with a battle stand, and there's a dramatic music. Wah! And there's a panoramic view of the cameras going, and even the drone, and you go, wow, who's going to win? That's that kind of the scene. And at that time, Joshua speaks with his sword drawn. He says, are you for us or for our adversaries? In our very tense circumstances, with Lot on his mind, the first question is, are you for us or are you for them? That's the question he's drawing, because that's important. Another way is, are you for me or are you for them? Then the soldier speaks, verse 14, and he said, no. Huh? Are you for me or are you for them? No. Huh? He said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And then Joshua responds. Before he says, are you for me or are you for them? Joshua realized it is the commander of the Lord's army in verse 14b. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? He encounters this man, and Joshua, right before he's speaking like a general, are you for me or are you for them? Are you for us or are you for them? And then when the man discloses who he is, the commander of the Lord's army, Yahweh's army, Joshua's perspective changes. Before he says, are you for us? Now he says, command me. He falls and prostrates before him. He worships. And the next word that comes out is, command me. And we're told in verse 15, the man speaks, the commander speaks. And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, For the place where you are standing is holy, and Joshua did so. So from here, we see that this is not an angel. We learn in the Bible in Revelation 22, when John, the Apostle John, sees the vision of the future that God shows, and an angel appears to him. And what does John do? He falls on his feet, and he begins to worship the angel. Remember what angel said? He says, get up, John. You and me, we're same in the presence of God. I am not worthy of worship. We're same. And therefore, when this commander of the Lord says, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy, and Joshua did so, Joshua recognized that this is God himself. More than likely, we'll see later, it's Jesus Christ. And his perspective in life changes for Joshua, who had a lot on his mind, trying to figure out the perfect military strategy to bring victory for his people, to lead his people. And now when he encounters the commander of the Lord's army, he says, command me. And he worships, takes off his feet. It's not that the ground was holy, it's wherever God is, it's sacred and holy. And Joshua prostrates and worships. You know what Joshua needed here as he faced the city of Jericho, the most fortified city, was not an airtight military strategy. What Joshua needed is the coming to the living reality that the living God is with him. And he needed to worship before anything else for carrying out God's command. Children, I know you have a lot on your mind. Would I have friends? Would my classmate like me? What would my teacher be like? Would I have someone to sit at lunch table to eat together? Many of the high school students going to college, my biblical view will be challenged by many of my friends, and we would be looked on as foolish and dumb. What you and I need today is not some airtight plan for my next 4 years, but come to the realization of Jesus Christ and to fall at his feet and worship. That changes everything. You know what that means, to worship Christ? Because a lot of Christians have this wrong view that if I accept Christ, that God's on my side. He will take care of me. Yeah, he does. But notice what happened to Joshua. Are you on my side or their side? And the commander of the Lord says, no. The better question is, are you on my side? Are you on God's side this morning? That's very important. Children, what you need most today is not more IQ, not better study method. And that's important to be a student. What you need is to know Christ and to grow in his truth and grace more. What you need is to be captured by his beauty and magnificence of who he is. What you need is to be illuminated, to be awakened to his greatness, because that changes everything. Do you know Jesus? And the commander of the Lord's army speaks. So Joshua falls and worships, and then actually the commander gives the battle plan. The battle plan to overcome Jericho, the most fortified city. We pick it up in Joshua chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. I won't read it. I will paraphrase it. Joshua is told, you take the Ark of the Covenant as the priests carry it, and the people will follow the Ark, and they will walk around the city once per day. No dynamite, no machine guns. They're just going to follow the ark and walk around it one day. And you're going to do this for 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to walk around the city 7 times. And after 7 times, because the first 6 days, you cannot make any noise. But on the seventh day, after 7 times, the priest will blow the horn, the trumpets, and you will shout, and the walls will come down. Can you imagine if Joshua went back to his people? God spoke to us. This is the military strategy. We're going to conquer Jericho. And all these soldiers, are their ears, and they're looking. So what is it? Surprise attack? No, we're just going to walk around once. In a broad daylight, you will be exposed to our enemies. We're going to walk around it again. But on the seventh day, this is what we're going to do. Can you imagine? I put myself as a soldier. Okay, Joshua, you are a leader, so I'm going to do it. First day, you walk around for several hours, a big city. Nothing happens. Second day, you walk around. Then third day, nothing. Third day, I'm imagining it's the evening, there's campfire, and the soldiers are talking among themselves and saying, what are we doing? I think our general was out in the sun too long. We look stupid. Did you see those Canaanites, the armies of the Jericho, laughing at us when we were walking? We look so foolish. But we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, they did it. Why? By faith, they walked around the walls of Jericho, came down. Faith, it looks foolish, but they did it because God said so. Students, you know what it means to worship Christ and to go back to school? Sometimes we look foolish because God's commands are countercultural. It looks dumb to the world. The Bible says, if you want to follow me, if you have people hating you, your enemies, the Bible doesn't say punch back. Just forgive them. Pray for them. What? Do you want to be rich, adults? You hoard things and you live for luxury? The Bible says no, actually, you give it away. Be generous and you will feel rich. What? If someone has hurt you, it's better that I hold my grudge. And that person needs to learn what it means to hurting other people. But the Bible says, forgive 70 times 7. What? That's how you conquer your Jericho. It's what God said. And that only comes through worship of Christ. Because students, you might be the only person in the lives of your friends at school as an aroma of Jesus Christ. And how you win over is not with bulldozer or dynamite, but with kindness, with love, with caring. And you will see the walls come down. Dear adults, what's your Jericho in your life right now? What's on your mind? What's the city filled with giants for you in your life? First, worship Christ. That changes everything. And do what he says, even though it looks foolish. So the question becomes, how do we do this? To be honest, it's hard to follow Christ. That's why Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must carry your cross daily and follow me. And Jesus says, there's no way about it. That's another way saying is, Jesus, are you for me or for them? And Jesus saying to you, no. Do you know who I am? Because God says, that's a wrong question. The better question is, are you on my side? And what Joshua needed to hear the commander of the Lord to say, now I have come. This assuring word. Students, are you afraid for your next school? You don't need to, because the gospel said, wherever you go as your disciple, Jesus says, I go with you. That's protection. The God of the universe goes with you. We don't need to be afraid. Children, remember I was Peter this week as a VBS? Remember the definition of brave? What does it mean to be brave? It's okay. I saw Parker go like this. Brave, some of the students said, bravery is not feeling scared. No, that's not bravery. To be brave is to have faith, to do what God said to do, because even though I am afraid, that's bravery, that's faith. Even though I'm scared, I do what is right because what God says, that's faith, you see. How was Joshua able to do this? In the Bible, when you meet the living God, people die. Why wasn't Joshua struck down meeting the living God or Christ here? Because he's a sinner. God spared Joshua because of the true Joshua that is to come. You see, Joshua was obedient, even though he looked foolish, and brought the wall of Jericho down. He became a well-respected general. But you and I know the true Joshua, who left the throne of heaven and came into this world as a man. He looked dumb and foolish because he was obedient to the end, to his father's commandments, the life that you and I had to live but could not. Then he went to the cross. The creator of the world on the cross was being spit upon by his own creatures and creation and being mocked, but he stayed. What did his obedience bring him? For Joshua, it brought the wall of Jericho down. For our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Joshua, God's wrath came upon him because of his obedience. Why? To pay, to receive the payment for your sins and mine, our past, present, and future. That's why Joshua was spared, because the true Joshua was to come. And therefore, if we understand the gospel, we can do, even though we're scared, what God is asking us to do. Students, children, what you need today is not an airtight plan for your future. What you need is to know Christ, to dwell in his grace, to be captured by his greatness and his beauty. You know why? Because that changes how you look at perspective of life. And you will see this foolishness is way of life. Excited for the new school? Come on, kids. Excited? No? Yeah. It's okay, you will. I want to invite us to spend a few minutes in prayer. As families, you have children going back to school in all ages. And maybe you as an adult is facing your Jericho of your life. What we need today is to come to know Christ more. How good and big he is. Which is communicated through the cross. Parents, can you lift up a prayer for your children? Even if they're grown-up adult children, lift up a prayer for God's grace. They will grow in the truth and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so they will say, I will not fear to be a witness in the schools that God is placing them. Children, can you lift up a prayer for your parents to not to compromise their faith in any way? Whatever Jerichos they face, even though they're scared, they will trust and obey. Let's pray together. Dear church, secondly, we're going to pray for something. Are we like Joshua asking the wrong question? God, are you on my side or their side? Is God some kind of genie in your life that you can rub anytime he comes and give you what you want? Or is he the commander of God's army? Do you hear his answer? No, but now I have come. Let's pray for our hearts, that we will realign our hearts for Christ and his kingdom work for his glory. Who are we to say, are you on my side or their side? He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Let's ask for his mercies this morning, that our hearts will be transformed, that the greatness of Christ will become more real in our hearts, so that we would actually profess, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for making you and seeing you so small in our life. And it's my prayer that your spirit will work in the hearts of those who are truly redeemed. The supremacy of Christ will pulsate in their heart again, so they will see life through your eyes and through your lenses. Father, what we need is not something new, but we need more of your grace so that we can love you more. Father, we lift up a prayer for our students who are scared. I know they are, but help them to see who you are. Help them to see how great you are, so that like Daniel and his three friends living in Babylon for 70 years, that they will persevere and they will stand out as Christ followers. Equip them and empower them, for we know that you can do all things. They're going into schools and this society where spiritually it's gone wrong. The spiritual landscape is truly gone wrong. And it is time to stand for your name's sake. And we ask that you would raise your young army from this church, so with confidence and with joy, they would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, we're going to stand together, and we're going to use these two songs as our prayers this morning. Let's worship the Lord.